The following podcast has been brought to you by Badger Club. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, short of all ages, Rapper Mania Show probably brings to you this I, one half of the longest reigning tag team champions of the world, the Angel of Death 6XL. Joining me as always
is I, your other half, the longest reigning Rapper Mania tag team champions of all times, and of course, your current great, defending, undisputed, 10-time Rapper Mania champion. Of this, that, those, all the other worlds. TJ the Great. TJ the Great. Of course, we at the Banter Club, we are here to discuss AEW Dynamite on the Hoes Network.
I you know what got hoes.
We got them hoes. They out in the area codes. They doing their thing. They staying warm this week, hopefully, because this is a nasty weekend up here on the East Coast. Let me tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, hell yeah.
It was looking like spring a few days ago. Like, oh, shit, it ain't even cold outside. And then all of a sudden, Mother Nature was like, what? Y'all out here wearing shorts in February?
Hell no. What's going on.
We'll talk about little bits and pieces of news real quick. Got to start off, of course, with a big, loving rest in peace to the genius, of course, the brother of the late, great Macho Man Randy Savage, Lenny Poffo. Dig it. He joins his brother up there. Had a long career. WWF, WCW is the genius.
Yep. You know what's wild? This motherfucker, he used to team with the Beverly Brothers.
He did. And the Beverly Brothers got a shout out on this show.
I find that shit like, I don't know. That's like some weird karmic some shit. I don't know.
Maybe Max knew what was up and he threw that in. Maybe Max knew what was going on.
Maybe. I don't know. I
wasn't if he did, he's a student of the game. I respect him for that. But yeah. Either way, it was a good line, but we'll talk about it later. Lenny Poffo passed. He had been sick in recent times. Hacksaw Jim Duggan had posted it on his Facebook. Well, shout out to Hacksaw, who himself had gone through his health issues and bounced back. But
yeah, man, I'm glad to see that he's actually, you know, okay.
Yeah. But they said he was living in Ecuador in his last years. He was chilling out in Ecuador. Shout out to Lenny Poffo who got a paycheck from WCW for like 5 years and they like never used him. They never actually used him.
I remember
he was on the roster. They were gonna use him.
Yeah, I was gonna say I remember it was part of Macho's contract where he was like, "Yo, if you sign me, you sign Lenny." My brother goes where I go, which is fire.
That's real shit. That's real shit. And his brother got a paycheck for 5 years. They never used the board team, never took a bump. Not a single bump.
It was just an extra paycheck from Macho. Is what it was.
Facts.
They were like, if Hogan can have stupid ass booty, man.
Right? If Hogan can bring over fucking Ed Leslie, then yeah, the least you could do is bring over Leaping Lenny Poffo.
Yep.
But yeah, he has an autobiography out, so if you want to read it, definitely a very good choice to check out. And rest in peace to the genius. Now,
R.I.P. genius.
Let's move on to the World Wrestling Federation. They did their earnings call on Thursday, and you know there were a lot of questions there about the sale and what's going on with the board and everything with Vince's return and everything. Triple H talked, Nick Khan talked. And Nick talked about how, among other things, he says he feels that they will do a sale relatively quickly, maybe within 3 months even. And he said that Vince McMahon would not be an issue and that he would step aside if the company that bought WWE wanted him to step aside. Triple H, please, very complimentary of Vince.
Whoever does it, please just tell that man. Please just tell that man, go home, young boxer.
See, again, I'd say this every time we talk about this shit. I'm no business expert, but if Vince was cool with just letting the company move with whatever suitor bought them and didn't want it and would be fine with taking himself out of the picture, then why'd he force his way back onto the board?
That's true. Not just that. But he fired a shit ton of people that would have been against him.
Yeah.
He forced them to quit.
Yeah, he basically got his power back and then restructured so that anybody who would challenge his power was out of the picture. So if he was cool with just like, all right, if you don't, I'll go. Why would he do all that? They're saying to facilitate a sale, but if the point of the sale, if the suitor doesn't want Vince, then that's already fucking up your sale. Shit like this is what makes me think, and I've said it before again, there was a lot more smoke to that Saudi situation, that rumor that broke, than people are giving credit for. See, everybody ran online to dunk on all the journalists when it came out that it was false and it was just a rumor. But it was like I said that day, there were way too many well-connected people talking about this story for there to be nothing behind it. There had to be, I'm sure they were talking. Even if they didn't come to terms or anything like that, they were talking. Also, Nick Khan talked about the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match at the Royal Rumble. You know that crazy, spooky advertisement match where a bunch of bullshit happened?
Mm-hmm.
Huge success for the company financially. Apparently, like they got seven figures for that advertisement match. And so Nick Khan was like, yeah, you know what we're doing? We're probably going to do another one for WrestleMania.
I think
the rumor was Cinnamon Toast Crunch, so there might be a Cinnamon Toast Crunch match at WrestleMania. See, if it were me, and I would do it like WCW used to do it. Because WCW used to have like Snickers and Slim Jim and all that shit like on the side of the ring and on the ring post and all that. Do it like that.
Yeah, they used to have it even on the mat.
Yeah, or even like AEW at the beginning where they had like Cracker Barrel and shit. Like, yeah. Have little gimmicks around the ring or on the ring, but you got to base entire matches on advertisements.
Yeah, that's no bueno.
But then again, you know, it's like I be saying, this is a content factory, folks. This is what they be doing. They just be trying to come up with content that'll boost the bottom line. And regardless of what you thought of that Mountain Dew match, it made them a lot of money.
Yep. Never mind who you thought I was. I'm Vince McMahon.
That's a fact. Never mind who you thought I was. Let's talk Dynamite ratings. They're down 901,000 viewers, about 10% from last week's cool million. They were second on 18 to 49 cable charts with a 3-1 rating in that key demographic. Also down from last week, but only slightly. And again, they beat the late NBA game, so that's actually very good for them. Year over year, it's still down, and I think they're on a trend of being down year over year, which isn't really good. But it's still like they're still steady. So I think when you weigh the numbers in totality, the numbers are still pretty solid and still are pointing toward AEW being able to have a little bit of negotiating legs going into 2024. So, and they even had an article from Bloomberg talking about their rating success, talking about Fight Forever and everything. So AEW is making their push. They're solid right now.
Let's fucking go. I'm still waiting for Fight Forever. We've been waiting for Fight Forever forever.
Right? That billboard, that Bloomberg article came out. It was like, it's coming out this month. And everybody was like, what? No. And then the journalists were like, what? No. So they had to reach out and figure out. And no, the game is not coming out this month. Which I'm pretty sure we would know if the game was coming out this month because they would
be having a big rollout pre-ordering and shit.
Yeah, they'd be advertising it, they'd be showing it off, like how WWE 2K23 is about to come out, and they've been on a big advertising kick lately. So
hell yes, everything John Cena.
Yeah, John Cena all over the place. They got videos up on YouTube. They invited a bunch of people out to Royal Rumble weekend for a showcase. Mm-hmm. So if you go on YouTube and any wrestling game creators you follow, New Legacy, Tony Pizza Guy, all those guys, they were all out there. They were playing.
Well, Teach, are you ready?
Oh, you damn right I'm ready. You know what's going on.
No, I said, are you ready?
I am ready.
Then, for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching at home,
you.
And for one guy by the name of Kenosuke Takeshita, who doesn't give a fuck anymore.
He is going crazy.
Ooh. Let's get ready to banter.
AEW Dynamite from Dayton, Ohio. We open this show up with Jon Moxley versus Hangman Adam Page, part three. And Moxie comes out, hits the steps with his father, Dan. He's got his dad behind him, and he's got his son next to him, Wheeler Yuta.
Close enough.
Close enough. So Taz goes, I'd love to see Mox's dad beat you up, Shivani. And Tony goes, I'm sure he could. Mox's dad came out there looking.
Was his dad like a Marine or some shit?
He looks like one of those guys that back in the day was no jokes. And
yeah,
might be older now, but you still don't fuck with him. Mm-mm. You look like one of those.
My dad forever looked angry, bro.
Facts. Facts.
He be smiling. He look evil. Because my dad's eyebrows are stuck like in anger mode.
Yeah.
He got them two little lines The Rock used to have right in the middle of it.
Yeah, just he chilling. You might think he's mad, but he chilling. He just always ready.
I guess you could say it like that.
Yeah. So Hangman comes out, comes down to the ring. He soaks in the fact that the crowd is, this is Mox country, Ohio. Hot. But then Mox gives him no time. He catches him off the rip, free smoke. They brawl into the crowd. Mox puts the figure four on this man in the crowd. And a little flip off Jones there. Flip this man off while in the figure four. Then they fight back to ringside. Hangman throws a chair at this man to take advantage. And then he throws him back in the ring where Mox blades because it's Wednesday.
Hell yeah.
Unfortunately, the camera caught him doing it. And then I guess real quick, the director was like, no, wait, cut away. But we caught Mox in the corner real quick. Little Nick.
That boy was blading.
He was putting in the work. Mm-hmm. Hangman comes back, goes for a springboard lariat, but Mox fucking clobbers him with a lariat of his own. These two were throwing hands in this match.
Hell yeah.
Chokes him out on the apron, goes for a pile driver, but Hangman tries to fight back. They go back and forth between the Deadeye and the pile driver before Hangman just lifts him and throws him into the buckle, into the commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is crazy how effective these two are at swapping roles.
Yeah.
Like, Mox can play a great heel to Hangman's babyface when he needs to, but they can also flip it perfectly, and Hangman also plays a very good heel to Mox's babyface.
He was in the Bullet Club?
Yeah, he was. I'm saying. But how often do you see that both guys work really well together in both positions like that?
It's not very often, but there's a few guys who can do it.
A few Brian guys Danielson. That can do it. Oh, yeah, Brian Danielson, definitely one of them. But
fucking great at doing that shit.
So he goes for the Danielson stomps, this Hangman. But Mox says, ain't no fucking way you about to hit these on me. And he takes Hangman up top, starts raking his back, then biting his back. Like, literally,
the way you said ain't no way right there, you know what I was hearing in my head? Ain't no stopping me now!
Go back to the break. Hangman fights back. It's an avalanche DVD for a near fall. And then he puts the boost to him. And he's yelling at Mox to stay down. But you know Mox ain't built like that. Like Excalibur says, Jon Moxley is not going to stay down. You have to put Jon Moxley down.
Mm-hmm.
So he bounces back, hits a big cutter. They double down. They get up and start trading. But Mox cuts out, goes for the sleeper. Hangman hits a backdrop suplex. But then Mox comes back with his own backdrop suplex. And then it's an avalanche arm trap suplex off the top, then goes for the bulldog choke, but Hangman fights out. So then Mox grabs his arms, starts Danielson stomping his face.
Mm-hmm.
So then he goes for the Death Rider, but Hangman fights. Mox goes for the Jujigatami, And then Hangman gets the ropes. So Mox heads out. Hangman goes for the Arihara moonsault, but Mox dodges that, hits him with another big, big, big lariat. So he sets up the ringside table. He's going to put Hangman through it, but Hangman comes back, hits him with a spine buster. He puts Mox through the ringside table, goes back in the ring, says, fuck it, count him out. We get all the way up to 9 before Mox scrambles back in at the last moment, but he walks right into the Deadeye for the 1-2. He got him. No.
Yeah, Mox kicked out of the fucking Deadeye, and that had me like, ooh, boy.
Excalibur told no lies when he said John Moxley is not going down. You got to put him down. No lies were told there. Hangman goes for the curb stomp, whipping out the Seth Rollins moveset. Mox counters that with a King Kong lariat. Mm-hmm. So Hangman makes his way back. They trade again, and then Hangman is still in the Rollins bag. He hits God's last gift, the small package driver, for a near fall. Showing all that shield love. Mox goes Death Rider. Hangman counters, hits the Deadeye, then nails the Buckshot Lariat for the 1-2. He got him. No. The Buckshot Lariat, people. Listen, man, Logan Paul does that shit very good. I'm not going to take it away from him. But this is the Buckshot Lariat, people. Don't nobody do that shit better than Hangman. And he does it every single match.
Ain't that right, Punk?
I'm saying, I love you, Punk, but you ain't built for that.
That's why you fucked your foot, my nigga.
You ain't built for it. Hangman goes for the Bulldog Choke now, but then Mox rolls through, stacks him up for the cover. 1, 2, and 3. Hangman once again beamed by his hubris in a hell of a match. Like I said, the best of the three for me so far. And all three have been really, really, really good. And then post-match, Claudio and Yuta come out. But Mox and Hangman still got beef with each other. Fucking Hangman and Mox, they're getting in each other's faces while Claudio's breaking them up. And they're both flipping each other off. So they're definitely not done. And like I said, man, we got to run this a revolution. Texas Deathmatch. Tony, don't play no games.
Bruh, the fact that they did that. So first, you know, Claudio is like, hey, you ain't going to do nothing stupid.
Facts. Claudio was like, don't get crazy out here now.
And then fucking, what do you call it? Hangman was out here like, I'll fight you too, motherfucker. And then Mox finally comes to and he's like, hey, you don't start with my friend. And then Claudio's trying to keep the peace over here. And then from out of nowhere, fucking this motherfucker does a burpee, basically. And then burpee, fuck you. Mox throws himself on the ground. Snow Angel gets back up. Fuck you. And the back and forth to me was just like, what? Oh, man, that shit was hilarious, bro. But, yeah, this is not the way they wanted to win. This is not the way they wanted to end this shit right here. This was a big, big feud that we all wanted to see, and that they feel disgusted. They wanted to knock each other the fuck out, and they did not achieve that.
Yes. So, again, you got to run this one more time.
One more game. And usually I don't like to run shit over and over and over again, but in this case, because of the story, it works.
Yeah, it's like my thing has always been, if you're going to do rematches, then do them, but build story behind them, build upon them, add extra elements that make it interesting that these guys are going to fight again. And they're definitely doing that with Mox and Hangman. And they've also done this with this next feud. Darby Allin and Samoa Joe. Darby says, Joe, you gave me a rematch for the TNT Championship, so I'm going to do the same for you. I'm going to give you a rematch. But this time I want it to be the final chapter. If you beat me, I get no rematch. If I beat you, you get no rematch. All I want, Joe, is no holds barred. And of course, Joe accepts. And like he said last week, the king of television will not allow a man like you to usurp him. So it's set, the main event tonight, Darby and Joe. Now we got Renee Paquette with Jamie Hayter and the Bunny and the Butcher and the Blade.
Yeah,
Bunny says, she's so fine. Bunny says, she was very impressed with your win over Emi Sakura on Rampage last week, even though I got to say, I think Emi outshined you. And Jamie's like, you what? Bunny's like, I know you're not the type to back down from a challenge, Jamie. So I want an eliminator match with you next week. And Jamie accepts, no problem. And then Renee's like, oh, wait, hold on. Because interviews are not allowed here in AEW. We go to the screen where Saraya and Toni Storm are jumping Britt Baker out in the parking lot. Like Toni said, she just got here and they jumped her. That's crazy. So Jamie runs off to go help her friend. And Bunny's like, oh, no, that's so tragic. Damn, that's crazy.
Tragic. Damn, you remember that motherfucker? Trash. From Everybody Hates Chris, and he's always be like, somebody would die, and he'd be like, oh, tragic. But that means business for him. So he would be like.
That was the Bunny this promo. Shit, at this rate, Saraya and Toni Storm are going to just start cutting MJF promos, getting cheap heat to let people know, hey, we're heels. Did you know we're heels? Because we are heels. We got our World Tag Team Champions, The Acclaimed versus Truth Magnum and Turbo Floyd. What the hell are these dudes? And what the hell are those names?
The Beverly Brothers 2.0.
Max said, you two look like you have sex with each other. Why they got us wrestling the bootleg Beverly Brothers? I was like, damn. Oh! That was a good one.
Yeah, they used to look very sus. Yeah, they were like old hairy men with like Magnum fucking mustaches and shit with the fucking with the Burt Reynolds rocking and with the
it was weird vibes going on. It was weird vibes.
Yeah, sus. Looking really sus.
Sus.
Grown ass man rubbing on their chests.
On their chests. Toni puts over the Acclaimed and he's like, oh, I love all the signs and all the scissors that people make every week for them. I just think it's so impressive that so many people do that for them. And Taz is like, why does that surprise you? These guys are stars. Of course the people are going to do that for them. Taz is giving Toni shit the whole show.
They both give Toni mad shit, bro.
They do. They do. They're fucking with him.
Toni has quickly become the Hazel of the crew. Max.
I guess because Excalibur and Taz are Team Dark. Yeah. Dark Jones over here.
Hey, I only sing during dark.
Facts.
Even though he was doing it here and there.
Yeah, he was. He had to get it off real quick. AEW got too many fun song situations going on.
No.
But yeah, the Acclaimed make quick work of these men. After they scissored each other, they scissored each other. The crowd was like, that's horrible scissoring. We don't like it. And the Acclaimed beat them up. They hit the arrival, the mic drop, and it's over.
The fact that they had the audacity to scissor each other, oof. Oof. They should have known they were going to get their ass whooped.
Facts. As soon as they did it, they were done for. So the Acclaimed packs them up, and then post-match.
Oh, God. Do. Love that stupid song. I love this
stupid ass song. I pop every time it comes on.
Red Dead Redemption sounding ass bullshit.
It is. It is some Red Dead Redemption techno remix bullshit. I love that.
That shit the fuck.
So the boys, they want an answer to their challenge for the tag titles. So the Acclaimed are like, yo, listen. And I love when Max goes, listen. Billy's like, listen.
It makes me miss Jim Ross, though.
Yeah. Listen.
Listen.
If this was Rampage, you did it. If this was Rampage.
Damn, Jim Ross is great, man.
Yo. And it works that their faces now, too, because he can just do it to his heart's content.
Yep.
The Acclaimed, they go, you know, since we are the people's choice and the people's voice, let's ask the people what they think. Do you think we should give the Ass Boys a title shot? Fans say no.
Fuck no.
So Bowens is like, the people have spoken. The answer is no.
Yeah.
So they get in each other's face. They argue again. And then Billy's like, all right, I can't do this. I've had enough of this. You two want to beat the shit out of each other? Go right ahead. And he walks off. And then Austin walks up to the ring and he's like, all right, hey, walk away like you always used to do when we were younger. In fact, how about you do what you used to do and go drown your sorrows in the bottom of a pill bottle?
Whoa. Stop. Yo, Billy comes back with all the fucking heat, though. He comes some real back dash on shit. Fucking fire. Like, what? Runs down to the ring, and he's like, y'all motherfuckers want a stupid-ass title match? That what the fuck you want, you little bitch ass? Well, first, actually. First, before he goes ape, his mic goes out.
His mic goes out, so he just throws that shit down like fucking, and then Bowen's gives him his one. Mic.
Real dad shit.
Real dad shit.
Oh man, yeah. So
when he ran back down to the ring, you can see Max in the ring like, yeah, I'm fucked up now. He backs away like, see, you shouldn't have said
they
that.
Both, they both do it like, no.
You've angered our father.
Just like, so he basically tells him, like, you know what? Fuck it. Y'all want a match? Y'all fucking got it. And the Acclaim was like, fuck? Yeah.
Not agree to this?
Okay, then, I guess.
So next week, as boys in the Acclaim. And a lot of people have theorized that maybe this is a setup and Billy's going to betray his boys and go with his sons.
His real boys?
His real
But his then adopted it boys to go with sense. His real boys. It doesn't make sense. Just doesn't make sense.
See, though. I get why people think that, but I also think it's not gonna happen. For one, they did that already.
Yeah.
And then Billy ended up going back to the Acclaim.
Yep. And then he ended up adopting them and going through the whole rigmarole, and they got really, really over as an act. And it's like, yeah, it don't make any sense to fucking make Billy turn on them.
Yeah, then that's the second part of it. They're too over. Like, I don't think it's time to split them apart yet. And especially not in the same way you did it before. Like, they're over. Yeah, nah. Like, them rock.
Yep.
So I can see them toying with the idea of a...
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, I can see them toying with the idea of a swerve because the whole storyline is it's Billy's real kids versus his adopted kids. So they can play with that. But I think Billy sticks with his scissoring sons.
I think it's kind of more of a... Let's finish this shit. I'm done with this shit. Let's get it done and over with. But then, of course, they can play with that, and then it'll get the crowd, you know, kind of like, oh, what's going to happen, you know? And then it adds intrigue to the story.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. They're adding a little bit more intrigue to this step of the story. But I think Billy is going to stay where he is.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got the teleportation god, Alex Marvez. With Jungle Boy Jack Perry. Yep. he asks about him and Hook and their success together. And Jungle Boy is like, me and Hook, we had a great team. And I thank him a lot for having my back when nobody else did. But, you know, I've done that tag team thing before. I even made it all the way to the top, the tag team division. But then I had to go right back to the bottom. So I don't need to do that again. But yeah, I think this here with Jungle Boy is an interesting pivot because I thought Jungle Hook was like a pretty hot deal. I thought they could have run with that for a little bit, but I also see the point of you can easily run with Jungle Boy and Hook as solo acts.
My thing is that it makes more sense to have them run as solo acts. Why'd you leave a tag team to be in another tag team? It doesn't make any sense. And then on top of that, it's like, I thought the whole point of splitting him off of a tag team was to make him a singles champion here and there. So,
true.
I don't know.
And it makes sense the way he explained it. You know, me and Hook, we got together because we had mutual enemies and numbers, and we dealt with them. So now we can move on and do our own things. Konosuke Takeshita versus The Machine, Brian Cage.
Let's go.
Some heat right here. Cage and Takeshita start out hot. They throwing feet. They throwing hands. They throwing it all at each other. Off the rip. Cage comes back. He's looking for a powerbomb early, but Takeshita fights out, and they start trading again. So he hits the ropes. Takeshita hits a blue thunderbomb for a near fall, and Takeshita rushes the corner with a knee, but Cage dodges, and Takeshita fucking just hits the top buckle and spills all the way to the floor. This man 6'2", bumping like he fucking a cruiserweight.
That's what I was going to say. He's one of those guys that, you know, regardless of his size, he wrestles like a cruiserweight. He's flip, fly, and flop.
He does. But he also, he has those spots in matches where he just shows off the fact that he is a big dude. And stuff that. Through Thunderbomb and the German he does later. Like, he's a very well-rounded, versatile wrestler.
He doesn't let you forget that he's also about Brian Cage's size. So.
Yes, yes. Very, very versatile wrestler. Cage is too. Shit. Cage pulls this man back into the ring with a suplex as we go to break, then hits the 619. So Cage too is like, I could do all that shit too.
He's over here like, motherfucker, I was Lucha Underground.
Who yeah, better? I was doing it first. Who better? Cage hits the 619, bombs Takeshita with the German suplex for a near fall. We come back from commercial. He goes for that power bomb once again, puts the cigarette out on his back. But Takeshita breaks free, hits a second rope drop kick, and then follows with a nasty hesitation German suplex. A hezzy German, and it looked clean as hell.
Yeah.
The Cage stuffs the jumping knee, but Takeshita counters him, hits the Liger bomb for the 1-2. He got him, no. Then Takeshita bombs him with a rolling elbow, but Cage pops out with a discus clothesline for two. And then Takeshita hits the sheer drop brain buster, but Cage just pops right up. He eats that shit. So Takeshita hits another one for a two count. Then Cage comes back. He sets Takeshita up top, but Takeshita fights back, hits a superplex, and then follows with a big knee to the face for the 1, 2, and 3. Another damn good match. This first hour is cooking.
That match surprised me because I wasn't expecting it to be more than just like a quick little exhibition. And they actually went apeshit in that match. So I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see you. You didn't have to go this hard, but okay.
Yeah. Good win for Takeshita.
On the line, there's no stakes. You know what I'm saying? They just went for it.
It was a good win for Takeshita. Another good performance for Brian Cage. Like every week, Brian Cage has been showing up. Ever since they put him back on TV, he's been showing. This is why he should have been on TV all this time. That's why we was asking about him.
Yep. I don't know what's going on, AEW. I got to figure out something for him. Because I would have put him in a nice faction with some dope motherfuckers. We spoke about this
before. I mean, he is in a faction, but...
Yeah, but not the way that he should be. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There was no need for IRS in DX. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
I feel you.
He should be the fucking front.
I mean, I like Prince Nana, though.
I love Prince Nana, but I don't think Brian Cage needs a Prince Nana. You feel me? It'd be cool to just have him with an elite squad of motherfuckers who all do their own thing. Similar to how the Pinnacle was. You feel me? How the Pinnacle had all these great wrestlers, and on their own, they did amazing things. And they had nothing to do with just, they got a manager guy, and, they do things whenever the manager guy said. Nah, man, it should be Brian Cage, the front line, you know what I'm saying? And then you have the other guys who, kind of like build him up. And whenever he needs those guys, he's the foreground, you know what I'm saying?
Now we got Rene Paquette with the Jazz. Addressing how they cheated last week. And Jericho's like, we haven't worked together for 5 years and you're already accusing me of cheating? And Renee's like, what the fuck are you talking about? It was Ricky that accused you of cheating.
In fact.
And they say, Ricky Starks wants another match after that. But we now have, if he wants that other match, he has to go through the Garcia-Guevara gauntlet. At first he says Guevara-Garcia gauntlet.
Yeah, but now he got to show him love because he's not the lackey anymore.
Yeah. So then Garcia's like, oh, yeah, thank you.
The rules make no sense.
Yeah. So first he's got to face Cool Hand Edge. Mm-hmm. Then he's got to, if he beats him, then he faces Daddy Magic. Then he beats Daddy Magic.
What do you know what makes his nipples hard?
There's no way you're going to beat me. So if he beats him, then he has to face either Daniel Garcia or Sammy Guevara. And he says, we'll let you know the night of.
This shit is sloppy.
And then if you win that, he gets back to Jericho. My problem with this is, why would Ricky say yes to this? He's already beaten Chris Jericho. So why would he want to go through a gauntlet for another match?
Bruh, I'd just beat his ass backstage and call it a day.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not doing all that. I already beat you in the ring. I just want to get you back because you fucked me over last week. That's it. Yep. I'm going to catch you backstage. Like, I don't
see.
It's a way to keep the feud going, but I don't like it. It's not a good way to keep the feud going.
My thing is, too, with the Jazz is that these feuds go on forever, and it's always with, like, one guy or two guys, and when they do go against the team, it's to set up, like, a blood and gut situation. And it's like, man, that's not what it should be. It's the same thing I said earlier with these teams, man. You should have the front guy. The front guy is a guy, the lead, which, of course, would be Jericho here. And then you should have everybody else doing something. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would have had maybe Ty. I would have had Ty and Jay going after those women's belts, A and B. And then I would have had Sammy and well, I would have had Sammy and Hager go for the tag belts. I would have had, I don't know, maybe either Sammy or Garcia go for the Mid-Atlantic and TNT titles, and then I would have had Jericho continuously trying to get a world title.
And I think it speaks to another issue in that you don't not everything needs to be a big, drawn-out, long-term storyline. Some things can just be like quick little 4 to 8 week situations, or 4 to 6 week situations, I mean, where, you know, you have a little feud, guy, like what CM Punk and Eddie Kingston was, honestly.
Yeah, you know, it's a build to the next big thing. It's something that's always worked. It's worked for a lot of the big guys when they leave and get injured and come back, and they need a way to like build them back up. So I don't understand why everybody's just being weird about booking lately. It's like,
yeah, like
it's almost I think scared of book shit.
I think that, like I said, it does. They're making this like this long, stretched out thing when it doesn't need to be. Like, Ricky got his boost from beating Jericho. Andretti got his boost from beating Jericho and all that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to lock them in with the Jazz forever now. Mm-hmm. You can have them move on to other stuff with that boost that they've gotten from Jericho.
And so that's what I think there. It would also help the revolving door, you know?
Yes.
Because there's so many guys, man, and if you just were able to just like have all these people work with all these people, then it wouldn't be a problem. But you got all these factions that are doing absolutely shit right now. You feel me?
Yeah. Like, I respect, and I say it all the time, I respect that AEW has a rotational roster and people are gonna bump in and out here and there. But when you have a situation like this, it just becomes a situation where, all right, these guys are taking up space that they don't necessarily need on the show, and mm-hmm. we can rotate someone else in right now, where someone's waiting at the door to be rotated in, and they're waiting for too long. You can rotate someone in right now. Now we got our trios champions, the Elite, they in the gym. They hooping. You know how Top Flight beat the Young Bucks? So Kenny's like, all right, how about you get your boy AR Fox? And you can challenge us for these trios titles. And then they say, you know, you guys, you can come up and you can shoot your shot, but you better not miss, because we don't miss. And then Nick hits his jump shot to prove his point. Trick shot, Nick Jackson is back. Then Ethan Page, Matt Hardy, Isaiah Cassidy, and Stokely Hathaway all walk up. Kenny's like, who's there? Who's talking? And then Stokely's like, man, I know you see me. I'm right here.
it was a short joke.
Yeah, it was a short joke. So they want to fight them on Rampage. Ethan's like, it's crazy that you guys just aren't doing anything this week. You're off, because we keep our employees working every single week. To keep that going, we want to fight you guys on Rampage, the trios titles. And then Kenny's like, all right, you got it. So then Isaiah's like, I hope you guys are ready. And then he walks up and moans right in Kenny's ear. He does it again. Kenny's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, Kenny's reaction to that is like, oh, what are you doing?
What the hell? Only Kota Ibushi can do that. Get the hell away from me. He went to a store. You know, there's one of those toys that you speak to and they repeat the phrase. Yeah. He did it to a toy. So the toy just bouncing around and moaning. This man is a menace. He's a fucking menace.
Just walking around going,
A good segment. I like the segment. But the actual best part of the segment is right after, because Excalibur goes, Don Callis, so lame he thinks NFTs are still a thing.
Oh.
Because Don Callis was like, oh, yeah, Kenny Omega hitting a one-winged angel on Matt Hardy. That'll be a great NFT.
I mean, they still exist. People still exist,
but, you know.
They're just not over anymore.
Realize that. Yeah, they're not over. It's time for some wrestling. Bryan Danielson versus Timothy Thatcher.
You ready to stretch?
Boy. Thatcher came out with the classic Ring Kampf-esque theme.
Mm-hmm.
Low-key represent his boys, even if his boys over in the other place using some goof-ass butt rock at the moment.
Yeah, they should have gave him the bam, 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 but nope.
Facts.
We can't use that? Fuck.
For shame. It's fine though. Thatcher's here, and he immediately is. Bryan Danielson's got kinesio tape on his shoulder, so Thatcher's like, "Hey, look, a target."
Yep. By the way, this motherfucker evil.
Evil.
The whole match just yeah. Look back, watch the whole match. Every few minutes that he gets a chance, evil face to fucking nauseam, just yeah.
Why he's got him in some fucked up ass submission.
Oh, I'm gonna rip your arm into 25 pieces, my man. Yeah.
And the commentators even say it. The commentators even say it. Timothy Thatcher is not so much concerned with the money from MJF as he is concerned with just murdering Bryan Danielson. That's what he wants.
That's his deal. That's his deal.
That's his deal. That's why he's here. The money is cool, but I get to murder somebody. That's great.
Yeah. Gotta finish it at yeah.
Yeah.
It's the murder of my yeah.
Oh, man. So again, Danielson, he gets his kicks off, but Thatcher keeps cutting him off with arm grabs every time Dragon goes for a killing blow. Thatcher traps the arm and he backs him up into the corner, but then the ref goes down. So MJF comes down. He's got the dynamite ring on. But Takeshita cuts him off and chases him all the way to the back. We get back in the ring. Thatcher puts on the arm bar. Dragon gets the ropes. He goes for a rope bounce belly to belly. But Dragon dodges, hits a German suplex, then back into the corner. Hits him with the Busaiku knee. Gets the one, two, and three. Gets the win in a technical clinic. And what I really liked about this match was, because of his injury, Bryan was outmatched in technical wrestling. He couldn't do everything. Yes. That Thatcher could do in this match to him. So he adapted by compensating with his strikes. And Thatcher kept being privy to that. And even Tony said it. Maybe stop throwing hands. Throw more legs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, but, and I even like the red herring of a ref bump.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where they smushed him in the corner.
Yeah. They made you think, oh, here comes the bullshit. But then it was like, oh, no. Takeshita says no bullshit.
Yep, yeah. Yeah, because what do you call it? MJF comes down and he tries to do his bullshit, but Takeshita was waiting in a hoodie.
He was hoodied down, like I wish a motherfucker would try to interfere in this.
It reminds me of what happened on SmackDown.
This most recent SmackDown?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I actually know what you're talking about. Sammy, right?
Yep. But here's the funny thing about Sammy, right?
Okay.
When Sammy came out, you can't hide Sami Zayn, bro. You cannot hide that man. It does not hide. Michael Cole's over here like, is that Sammy? And I'm over here like, Ryder, not you again. Nobody else is that short.
That small. I feel sorry for your mom.
Your dad. Yeah.
Yeah, your dad. Oh, it ain't man. Me, fool. That was Sami Zayn. It ain't me, fool.
Michael Cole, what the fuck are you talking about? Who's that? Nigga. You not see a big old red beard man on a skinny short dude, bro? Come on, man. That's not fucking anybody else but Sami Zayn, bro.
Yeah, you can't hide Sami Zayn. It's just not happening.
Oh, God, man.
Swerve says we're going to deal with the Dustin and the rest of the Rhodes family soon enough. But since we can't get to them right now, let's get another one of them Nepo babies, them nepotism babies, and Brian Pillman Jr. I'm going to deal with you on Rampage. And then Swerve tells his boys, hoodies up. They put their hoodies on, and they walk off.
What the fuck a hoodie got to do with anything?
I don't know.
Why don't Swerve they put their hoodies on to jump people?
Right? If you're going to jump somebody,
you do that. In the hood, you do that so they don't see your face.
Yeah. But in that scenario, you would have to have your hoodie on already.
Exactly. We seen your fucking face already.
We see your face already.
I don't understand what the point is here. Like, what are you doing? Like,
it's an intimidation tactic.
Girl, no, get the fuck out of here, bro. I seen your face. What are you putting your hoodie on for, bro? This motherfucker look like he races his head. Oh man,
he looked like a crazy skinhead, but he's a fucking he backing up a black dude, so he gotta be crazy.
He's psycho, bro.
It's like that Dave Chappelle bit. When you win it, when you see a gang and they got the one white dude is the one you should be worried about. Because you don't know what he did to earn them black dudes' trust.
Hey, he got two of them like that.
He got two of them. You know what these dudes did. That's
where I ain't gonna lie, they some big old white boys, but damn, bro. What you did?
Yeah. Wait, what they
named
do?
One of the homies Trench. And I was shook too, because I'm over here thinking about Naughty by Nature. Like, ooh, that's a little too close. You might get a little
cocky. Trench really from the streets. Yeah, go play that.
Yeah, Trench don't play that. Brick City, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Swerve got his gang out here. They hoodies up. Mm-hmm. Now we got Lexi with LFI, but MJF walks in to speak to them. And Roosh is like, what do you want? Better off.
Oh, go ahead.
And MJF is like, listen, my Spanish is como se dice mid. But I speak a language that everybody understands. And he whips out the briefcase, got the cash in it, and he's like, mm-hmm. Listen, there's five more of those with your name on it. And all you got to do is beat Bryan Danielson by any means necessary. So, do we got a deal? So, Roosh, he speaks to this man very spicy in Spanish. I knew some of them words.
All right. So, let me holler at you right
quick. Yes. Yes. I've been waiting for this.
He tells Jose, the assistant, he's like, translate. He doesn't translate. Obviously, Roosh knows English.
No.
So, what he says is, so you know what he want. He want to do this, that, and third, and he going to pay us. Should I tell this motherfucker to fuck off, or are we taking the deal? And he's like, I'm down with taking the deal, but if a single dollar of that shit go missing, I'm coming for his ass.
I knew Roosh was speaking spicy to this man, but MJF knew it too. Because when he asked him to translate, because MJF asked Jose to translate, and Jose is like, you got a deal. And MJF is like, that's not what he said. But I'm going to let it rock.
What he said is, we got a deal, but if you fuck up, I'm murdering you. Are we taking the deal?
I said it on the Rampage stream. Roosh is killing this shit right now. He has been killing this shit since Andrade's been gone. And I've been saying the whole time.
What does fucking Vance do, bro?
Since he joined, he's just been chilling.
Stands there, bro.
He stands there and holds the mask. He stands there and holds the masks.
Why was he not the translator?
Facts. Do we not know Spanish?
How do you talk to each other then?
Yeah, I guess Jose. Nah. Roosh knows English. Roosh knows English. Time for the TBS Championship. Red Velvet versus Jade Cargill. We are back. Stirring it up. Stir it up, gang, is back. So Red rushes Jade off the rip, sends her outside, drop kick it to the floor. And the big thing to take away from this match is compare it to their first match from 14 months ago. Both of these two have come very far as performers. They have gotten a lot better. Jade's selling has gotten a lot better. Her offense is more varied now. Red Velvet's offense has gotten a lot more crisp. They know who they are as wrestlers now, and it shows in this match. Red goes for a crossbody off the apron, but Jade catches her and carries her across ringside, then goes up the steps, gorilla press style, and tosses her into the ring. This woman is a megastar, bro.
Yes.
It don't make no sense. Yes. We come back from the break. Red makes a comeback, hits a lung blower, but Jade cuts her off with a big pump kick for a near fall. And then Kiera Hogan runs down and takes out Layla Gray. And with the ref distracted, Red hits a big spin kick and gets a near fall off of it. Only after getting a visual pin, because the refs had her back turned while she was dealing with Kiera Hogan and Layla Gray. And Tony even says, I think Kiera Hogan accidentally messed up Red Velvet there because she had Jade beaten.
Yep.
So then Red goes for the short arm bar, but Jade lifts her out, spins her mid. She spun her mid-air out of this short arm bar after she deadlifted her and then put her in Jaded and locked it down for the win. She is turning her finish into the diamond cutter, where she can just hit it from crazy positions.
Don't you mean
it is so good?
Don't you mean another move?
What move do I mean?
A move with the same idea.
No,
with a different name.
I mean the Diamond Cutter.
Are you sure? Because that's not what Razor Ramon said when he was playing games with Dallas.
Scott Hollis forever a troll for that.
He was playing video game. What was it? 2K15?
I think it was 2K14.
Yeah, 14 or something like that. One of the ones where DDP was not in it and he had to choose Randy Orton because he had the same finisher.
Yeah.
RKO. It's a
Diamond Cutter. DDP did it first.
Diamond upside down is a pussy.
Very interesting, I thought, that they gave Red Velvet a visual pin on Jade.
Yes.
I thought that was very interesting.
Now, here's what fucked me up, right? You have the good guys, and I'm going to repeat that again, the good guys cheating their asses off and it backfiring on them. And then you have the bad guy winning the match valiantly, regardless of the bullshit, then grabbing her daughter from the crowd and sharing a celebration with her. I don't know.
See, you're fucking with also, the
babyface and heel dynamics here.
I mean, Tony talked about it on commentary, so I assume there is a storyline purpose to that. Because clearly that was booked. Tony booked Kira to run down, distract the ref, and then for Red Velvet to get a visual pin on Jade. So that's... Mm-hmm. Something's got to come of that. I don't know what, because like you, I'm confused, but I imagine something has to come of that. So I'm going to just wait and see. We got Renee with Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. Mm-hmm. But then Ruby Soho walks up to ask,
Destination.
You good, Britt? I heard about what happened. And then Britt is like, what you mean are you good? Those are your girls that attacked me. And then Ruby's like, hey, I had nothing to do with that, okay?
And then Britt's like, listen. As y'all saw from last time, I don't know if y'all remember, but she came in for the save. What the fuck are y'all talking about?
Yes. And then Britt is like, listen, you've known those girls for a lot longer than you've known us. And it's just now that you're showing up after everything that's happened. I don't know about you. And I do get the general story here in that Ruby is getting stuck between the two ends. And like, because it was last week, where Britt told her in the back, you got to make your choice. You're either going to get with us or get with them. So that's the story they're telling right now. And I am pretty sure that we are getting Blood and Guts for the women this year.
Ooh, that sounds like a good idea. That sounds like a very good
idea. It seems like that's got to be the way it's building. Because you already got Saraya and Tony on one side. You got Britt and Jamie on the other side. Mm-hmm. Ruby's probably going to join with Britt and Jamie.
Yes.
And then you also got... You got outliers like Willow and Ty J and people like that. Like, you can put together a 5-on-5, like AEW originals versus AEW newcomers type thing.
Yeah.
And it feels like that's where this is building. And now it looks like there's been enough talk.
It's time for the main event.
Let's go. TNT Championship on the line. Samoa Joe, the Ring of Honor TV champion, versus Darby Allin, TNT champion. Once again, this match is the story of the man not afraid to die versus the man not afraid to kill.
Joe is gonna kill you. You hear that?
Darby comes out with a hoodie with thumbtacks all over it. Thumbtack adorned hoodie. And he rushes Joe down stupid. In the ring.
Hella stupid.
It worked for a second. And then Joe was like, what the fuck? Get out of here. He wraps his hand in this towel, takes Darby out, and then rips the hoodie off of him and throws it away.
Yep. And the way he ripped it off fucked it up for him later.
Yes.
The way he should have ripped it off was from the sleeves. and he didn't do that. He ripped it off from the actual midsection, which means now the sleeves are all pinned together.
Yeah, the sleeves got tangled up, and it's thumbtack, so they're sticking to the shit. And
yeah, they're Darby pinned together, put it back on basically.
Later. Yeah. Darby had a big problem putting it back on later. But, yeah, Joe pulls out a table, and then Darby just toe-pays into him. The second Joe pulls out this table, and Joe gets cut. The table bangs into his forehead. He gets cut. These two are already going crazy.
That's crazy, the fact that they made him bleed instantly. Like
instantly.
Table. Blah. Well, like, I guess that was
couldn't argue that this was a blade job. He had no job. He had no time. Like,
yeah, literally, he just jumped into him, and the shit hit him on the side of the head, and it was a wrap.
Yeah. So already going crazy, these two. Joe whips Darby. Darby sets up the steps over by the barricade. Then Joe whips him over into the. Darby flips over the steps and just falls into the crowd, like a fucking. Like how it's like an animation in one of the old wrestling games where you whip somebody over the barricade and they fly over.
Legit yeeted himself.
Yes. Then they fight into the crowd. They climb up the steps, and Joe climbing a set of arena steps gives me bad TNA flashbacks.
This was God's revenge. He was like, you're going to do it to somebody else now.
Right? And now someone else gets to suffer.
Yep.
And Joe just Joe is tossing this man around, like, disrespectfully. Then we come back from break. Darby tries to fight back. He rushes Joe in the corner, but Joe sits him the fuck down for a near fall.
Sit your ass.
Exactly. That's exactly how Joe says it, too. Sit your ass down.
That type of energy.
Joe goes for a table. Facts. Joe goes for that table one more time. And he tells the crowd, get the fuck out the way. Everybody moves instantly. And Tony on commentary is like, you going to say no to Samoa Joe?
Hell no, man. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
Hell no. Joe said move. Bye. I'm out. Later.
Go ahead, Joe. Do your thing. Do your thing, 21. Do your thing.
Do your thing. So Darby gets him in the corner, chops him, and Joe just fucking grabs him and tosses him over the top to the outside. And then he sets up a chair bridge in the ring, drops Darby on the chairs, and then he puts him up, gets him in a powerbomb lift. Darby puts powder in this man's eyes and then puts the hoodie back on. Or rather, he tried.
I didn't even see that. I don't know where the fuck he came from with that powder. But he literally, I thought he got him with like, I thought he punched him or hit him with an elbow or some shit. But then Joe comes up and his whole face is white. And I'm like, yo, what happened?
I'm like, what? And then they say, Darby got powder. And Darby learned some shit from teaming with Muda. Shout out.
Facts.
Darby learned some shit.
Only thing he would have needed is black mist.
Word. You should have tried. It might have worked for you. But yeah, he puts the hoodie back on at least enough to where he can get the thumbtacks on it. It's the coffin drop. For the 1-2, he got him no. So then Darby slips out, heads under the ring, starts bringing up the ring skirt and the canvas, then starts pulling out the padding.
You know what I was saying here?
What?
Santana and Ortiz, where the fuck you at?
Max. It's crazy because Excalibur was like, this only happened once before in AEW. I was like, no, it's happened twice. It happened twice. You're forgetting about them boys. But yes, exposed wood spot seems like it's coming up. Darby goes for the tope as Joe is outside, but Joe moves. He gave Joe too much time to recover. And Darby topes and crashes and burns through the table. And then Joe wraps this man's face in his sweater and starts raking his face with the thumbtack sweater. He sets up the plunder, and this match was full of that. He sets up the plunder. We'll go through it.
That was all night, because remember Mox when he set up the table?
Yep. y'all gonna learn, wrestlers. He sets up the plunder. But Darby thumbs his eye. He goes up top, but Joe throws Bryson to the ropes and then grabs Darby and hits a muscle buster onto the mat, the wood, and gets the 1, 2, and 3 nasty primal violence this match was.
But you see, Joe landed on the wood part.
And Darby like landed on the covering. I mean, there's no pad there.
Yeah, there's no padding anymore because he took it out.
Yeah, so it's still fucking
it's something.
But yeah, I feel you. I feel you. And Joe sold it too. I mean, yeah. he probably wasn't selling, but
he ain't dumb. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he know what he's doing. But man, listen, this Joe's AEW run has been a constant, consistent reminder of who the fuck he is, and this Darby trilogy.
We go back to the never mind who you thought I was.
Facts.
Some more Joe, bitch.
That's Joe this whole run. Never mind who you thought I was. I'm Samoa Joe.
Never mind that watered down Joe y'all motherfuckers got in NXT. Mm-mm. This the real deal. And I ain't talking about D'Lo Brown.
Like, I don't know what Tony Khan got going on here, but it seems like every time you get a veteran coming in, they cook way beyond what's expected of them at this point in their career.
Ain't that right, Sting?
Joe, Sting, Christian, DDP was over here in AEW getting shit off for
CM Punk himself, to be honest.
CM Punk himself, shit. He was going after 7 years, came back, had a hell of a run.
Yeah.
Like, Fountain of Youth it must be hitting backstage somewhere. But
I think it's all the young guys that are you know, succeeding and excelling. That you know, wakes these old guys up like, oh yeah, I'm excited about this shit. All these new people, all these new things in a new company. Yeah.
And a unifying factor for a lot of that is Darby. I feel like Darby brings out something great in just about everybody wrestles, but especially these older guys.
Especially Sting. It's Sting!
Oh, hell yeah.
When they started teaming together, it was a wrap.
Facts. And Sting has said that. I do this shit because Darby told me to do this shit. He inspired me.
Don't worry. You'll be all right. Just
you'll jump off that. That'd be crazy. You know what? That's a good idea. I'm gonna
do it. I'm trying to kill myself.
Join. Then after the match, Wardlow is back. Mm-hmm. Big man returns.
But runs no man down to the what's ring. Going on?
Joe cut his hair.
Ew.
Yeah. So, you know.
Ew. He looks like a fucking teenager, bro.
Yeah.
So, Wardlow got damn, look at him now. What the fuck?
But, I mean, he's the same way. You cut my fucking man bun. Fuck you. And the security runs down to try to stop him, but you know what happens to security.
This is around Wardlow.
The show, the ending shot of the show is Wardlow throwing a motherfucker out of the ring. But yeah, that's Dynamite. I thought the show was really, really damn good. Another showcase of their variety and ring strength. Listen, man, we eating good. They get so many quality matches on national TV like this.
Oh, yeah.
In front of hot crowds of thousands of people every week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a point in North American wrestling history where you'd be lucky to get a card this good on a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And we get it, like, every other week.
Thank you, Mr. Khan.
I do not take this like listen. We give Tony his criticisms. We, you know, not everything's
that's
perfect,
our job.
I do not take this company for granted. That's our job. Like we want this shit to be good. We want it to last, and then, you know, we're gonna talk our shit. But I never take this company for granted, and the fact that we have
And when does anything that we say come from hate? Like never. what we're saying is always constructive. And it's always good criticism. And it's always stuff like, well, if they did this, or I didn't understand this, or why they did this, we should have done this. And, you know, usually by the end of the storyline, we kind of understand and they iron out all the details and everything. Like, for example, the whole women's thing, I wasn't with it. The whole situation with the newcomers and the... But as the weeks have gone on, they keep adding and building and making the story make sense. And I'm over here like, well, okay, now I can get behind it, you know? So I don't, you know, I be a little bit critical with them. But at the same time, I always remember that they're not WWE and they don't do the same shit WWE does and fall into the same traps. They have their own shortcomings and their own, you know, great spots and their own things. So it's like sometimes they're and sometimes, okay. So, you know, you got to give everything time. Let it cook.
I was Dynamite. Strong. We're going to get up out of here. So we can.
Hell yeah.
Get to this other damn show we gotta watch.
Let them know where to find us.
Indeed, yeah. I already know where to find us. Find us on Instagram at Ramble Mania Show and at Banter Club Podcast. Find us on Twitter at Ramble Mania, Facebook.com/Ramble Mania Show. Also find our group there, Ramble Mania Show's Banter Club. We need other wrestlers, podcasters, and everybody we associate with us, all our goings on and all that's going down. As far as audio goes, wherever audio is found, that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, TuneIn, Overcast. Everywhere your podcasts are found, search Ramble Mania Show or Banter Club. As far as the visuals, twitch.tv/Ramble Mania Show. We're on Spotify video. We're on YouTube. Search Ramble Mania Show or Banter Club. When you get here, like the videos, click subscribe, click the bell, so that when a new content drops, it goes straight to yeah. As for me personally, find me on Instagram at TJ the Great One. That's TJ the GR, the number 8, the number 1. Find me on Twitter at TJ the Great. That's TJ the GR, the number 8. It's as simple as that.
TJ the Great. You can find me on Instagram at the number 6, the letter X, the letter L. That is at 6XL. You can find me on Twitter at SIIXX. Ain't I great? That is at SIIXX. You're already. And follow us on TikTok at Rambo Mania Show, where we'll be putting a bunch of cool little clips from all these shows that we make for all of you.
We are ticking and talking.
Yes, sir. With all of that being said, I want to leave our Banter Club loyalists, also known as our BCLians, with a little something we like to call a too sweet.
Too sweet.
And a good, and a good fight.
And a good night.